I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Turkey and the invasion of Greece. Turkey and the invasion of Greece. Now, you know, as we look at this headline from the Gatestone Institute, the headline from the Gatestone Institute is, Turkey threatens to invade Greece. Turkey is threatening to invade Greece here in modern times. This, of course, reminds us of the fall of Constantinople back in 1453. And the reason why we've talked about those issues on our program is because those issues continue to be important even today, more than 500 years later. 500 years plus after the fact, you still have the aggression from Islam, and especially from Turkey. And under Erdogan, its current president, Erdogan has now transitioned Turkey from being a secular state, which it was through the middle of the 20th century. But of course, that's not really their historic national identity. Their historic identity is that they are a very extreme Islamic fundamentalist jihadi kingdom. That's what they have been throughout their history. The Ottoman Turkish Empire was waging full-scale jihad on all the countries of the world that they could attack, invade, enslave, and forcibly convert to Islam. And now this is the dream that Erdogan wants to return to. So this article now from the Gatestone Institute says, Turkey threatens to invade Greece. That Turkey's ruling party and even much of the opposition seem intent on, if not obsessed with, invading and conquering these Greek islands on the grounds that they are actually Turkish territory. Why? Because the Turks invaded the Greek islands in the Middle Ages, took them over. Eventually, the Greeks reclaimed some of them. The Greeks were never able to reclaim all of their territory. They've never been able to reclaim Constantinople. Constantinople is modern-day Istanbul. And as a result, the situation for Greeks who are generally from, you know, generally profess Christianity, it's Greek Orthodox Christianity, but they generally profess Christianity, and they have been relentlessly persecuted by Turkey all the way into the 20th century, now into the 21st century. Turkey has been making headlines on and off for years now because of the leadership of Erdogan, which is increasingly fanatical toward Islam. He's definitely a sold-out Muslim. Sometimes he seems like he might be moderate, but then he gives these fanatical speeches that very clearly want to reclaim the dream of the Ottoman Empire, where the Muslims were running around trying to invade the entire world on behalf of Mohammedism. You had just a short time ago, the Turkish president, Erdogan, threatens U.S. with an Ottoman slap, warning that his country will fight the United States if it stands in the way of its anti-Kurdish operations. The Turks fighting against the Muslim Kurds. Unfortunately, the Christians are often caught in the middle there. But now you see Turkey becoming more and more radical, even threatening the United States of America. And this will only get worse and worse. It would get even worse if we had a president in the White House like Hillary Clinton or a Barack Obama, because then they would feel that the United States would probably not take action against them if they had somebody who was sympathetic, kind of like what happened during the Obama administration with Benghazi. With Benghazi, what happens? You have radical Muslims. They attack American citizens in Benghazi. They murder them, etc. And the U.S. government spends its time apologizing for allegedly offending them over some video that was on the internet. rather than take action, they turn it into an apology. Oh, we're so sorry we offended you. This kind of thing. Falling into political correctness, and this was our fault, supposedly. We should never have offended you, and on and on and on. Now, is this how God wants a nation to respond when you're being threatened by an unreasonable enemy? The reality is, no. I think it's very clear if we study the scriptures, you go through the Old Testament, even with King Ahab in the Old Testament, you read about King Ahab and his battle against Ben-Hadad. Ahab was not a good king. Ahab was a wicked king. He and his wife Jezebel, they worshipped Baal. That all happened, but you have the story of King Ahab doing battle against Ben-Hadad because Ben-Hadad came and threatened Ahab and really threatened the nation of Israel. And what God was doing by telling Ahab to go out against Ben-Hadad in battle and then he's going to defeat him in battle, God is really defending his people Israel. And I think this is a very important lesson historically because God will defend his people even through a leader who is corrupt. Because there's more to a country than just who is the king or who's the president or who's the prime minister, etc. Now, the reason I think Turkey is important, Turkey, that region, if you study it in prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39 with the Gog and the Magog invasion, and then you study a map of Israel, the armies directly north or the territory directly north of Israel on a map ultimately leads you to Turkey, to that region, which of course would make all the sense in the world. Reading the interpretations of the reformers, they saw that region as the region from which these northern armies would come to invade Israel with the Gog and Magog invasion. And certainly at this point in history, it appears that those pieces of the puzzle have fallen into place, are falling into place. Why? Erdogan, the current president of Turkey, has repeatedly made mention of wanting to invade Jerusalem, to unite the Muslim world to go and claim the city of Jerusalem. Because when Muslims invade territories and they take them over, and then if they lose them later on, they argue that the territories that they once invaded are Muslim lands. And it's so important that we understand, as Americans, that the Muslims believe they have a right to take over the entire world. They believe they have a right to every country, every stretch of land, everywhere on the earth, and that everybody who is not a Muslim is an infidel who is occupying their property, which they have a right to go and take. This is what they believe. And we have to understand that, especially when you're dealing with situations. It's why, you know, I've known some people who are Christians and they look at the situation with Israel and the Palestinians and they seem to favor the Palestinian cause, which to me is very bizarre. Any claim that your Palestinian Muslims have on the territory known as Israel is territory that they took through invasion, through conquest. And if you claim a land through invasion, then you have to be willing to lose that land through invasion. It's like a boxing match. You fight a boxing match, you punch the other guy out, you win the title. But if another guy comes in and he punches you out, then he takes the title, he takes the belt, he wins and you lose. That's just how it works when nations are established through invasion and war. But that's from ancient times. Now you have the Muslims who are using the United Nations and they're using the international media to plead that there's some kind of injustice because the Jewish people, Israel, are in the ancient homeland of the Jews because it was the Jewish homeland 1,000 years before the Prophet Muhammad was even born. All right, so let's go back over to this story here from the Gatestone Institute. Here's what part of it says. It says, quote, in an incident that took place less than 2 weeks after the Greek Defense Ministry announced that Turkey had violated Greek airspace 138 times in a single day. Think about that. 138 times in a single day. A Turkish Coast Guard patrol boat on February 13th rammed a Greek Coast Guard vessel off the shore of Imea, one of many Greek islands over which Turkey claims sovereignty. Now, these are ancient Greek islands recognized by their name, but they were claimed by the Ottomans in the Middle Ages. And so the article says most of the areas within modern Greece's current borders were under the occupation of the Ottoman Empire from the mid-15th century until the Greek War of Independence in 1821 and the establishment of the modern Greek state in 1832. The islands, however, like the rest of Greece, are legally and historically Greek, as their names indicate. So here's an example of the Muslims claiming that these territories that they had invaded in the Middle Ages, and then they lost in the 19th century to the Greeks. The Greeks took back part of their territory. They were not able to reclaim Constantinople, but they did reclaim these Greek islands from the Ottoman Turks. And now, of course, Turkey, more than 100 years later, almost 200 years now, is complaining that these territories really belong to them, that these are Muslim lands. You'll often hear Muslim leaders talking about Muslim lands and this kind of thing. What they believe are Muslim lands are any lands that they once invaded. I've even heard some modern Muslims talk about Spain trying to go back and reclaim the territory that was called Al-Andalus in Spain for almost 800 years. The Muslims in the 8th century, from about 722 to 1492, had conquered more than half of Spain, ultimately, more than half of it. And then it was reclaimed by Christian leaders on behalf of Spain. Ultimately, they drove out the Moors, drove out the Muslims, and took that territory back. But think about that. Having Muslims invade your country and hold on to the territory for 700 or 800 years. Why? How are they able to do it? Because if you study Islamic Sharia is such a fierce totalitarian system that gives them the right to enslave, to persecute, to rape, and even murder all non-Muslims. And with that, because you effectively have no rights other than to submit to Islam, if you're a non-Muslim, if you're a Christian, if you're a Jew, if you're an atheist, if you're a Hindu, if you're not a Muslim, you have virtually no rights whatsoever. And this is why having a buildup of Muslims in any country, I mean, in our country, you go to the website on Refugee Resettlement Watch and you read about what they're doing. They are just bringing more and more Muslims into the United States and resettling them quietly in different towns and cities and this kind of thing. And it's a very, very deliberate attempt to invade in a peaceable seeming way. I mean, they're obviously not using, this is not a full frontal invasion. They're using immigration jihad effectively against our country and building up the Muslim population of America. But they've already openly stated their desire to convert our country to Islam. The Muslims have. Now, why we have powers at work trying to carry this out, that is a very interesting dynamic. It's something that we're going to be exploring. I'm actually working on a couple of presentations that I'm going to be giving at conferences here in the next few months about the very deliberate attempt, what I believe is an ongoing effort that you can trace back to the Second World War, back to the Nazi era, and the views of Adolf Hitler where Islam is concerned. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors, but now Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we're talking about this story from the Gatestone Institute about how Turkey threatens to invade Greece. Why? Because they claim that the territory that they took during the Ottoman Empire, the territory that they invaded and conquered during the Ottoman era and took from the Greeks, even though, understand, the territory in question was in the possession of the Greeks for more than 1,000 years. You're talking about ancient Greek territory. More than 1,000 years, the Muslims claim that these are really Muslim lands because they invaded them in the Middle Ages. So, but this is, I mean, what's remarkable is that this is still going on today. In fact, if we keep reading in this story, here's what it says. It says, quote, Turkey's ruling Justice and Development Party, the AKP, and even much of the opposition seem intent on, if not obsessed with, invading and conquering these Greek islands. We read that earlier. Then we have, in December, for instance, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the leader of the main Turkish opposition CHP party, stated that when he wins the election in 2019, he will, quote, invade and take over 18 Greek islands in the Aegean Sea, just as former Turkish PM Bülent Ecevit invaded Cyprus in 1974. He said there is no document proving that those islands belong to Greece. Okay? So now you've got, it's not just Erdogan. Here you have other leaders openly declaring that they plan to invade and take over 18 Greek islands. And I've talked about on the program before the Turkish invasion of Cyprus back in 1974, which all Americans should know about. This should be the kind of thing that they talk about on our nightly news. This is what they should be discussing where Islam is concerned. They should not be brainwashing everybody with nonsense about so-called Islamophobia and all of this other garbage. They should be informing and educating the American public about the history of Islam, Islamic aggression against the Christian world, that yes, the Muslims, because what they did in Cyprus, you study what happened in Cyprus in 1974, the Turks had been immigrating into Cyprus. And they'd been building up their population there. And then once they built up a population there, the Turkish government got involved and conducted an all-out invasion and pushed the Greeks out of many parts of their territory that they had inhabited for centuries and really divided the island of Cyprus. Today, Cyprus is a divided country, a divided territory. You've got Greeks on one side, you've got the Turkish Muslims on the other, and Turkey, of course, is very, very aggressive, very, very hostile. And this pertains even to Turks who are considered more moderate. For example, you've got on the opposition party there in Turkey, a politician, a woman called Meral Akşener, who is the head of the newly established opposition Good Party, right? The Good Party has also called for an invasion and conquest of the islands. She said, what is required must be done, here in January, just last month. That's her view. You can look her up. Her last name, Akşener, A-K-S-E-N-E-R. You'll read about her online. She looks very nice. Looks like a nice, conservative, modern, contemporary politician. If she were German or if she were Italian or French or something, she has that European look. Says she served as Minister of the Interior and was Vice Speaker of the Parliament. In 2016, she led a group of opposition with the Nationalist Movement Party against its leader, etc. Goes on from there. So her party is literally called the Good Party. That's what her party is called. And you if you look at her, you get the impression that maybe she's more moderate and reasonable. But she believes that the Turks should invade the Greek islands and take them over, even though this is ancient Greek territory. Why? Why do they want to do it? Because they want to reclaim the Ottoman Empire. That's what they want. And this is why Turkey had its dealings with ISIS, because ISIS represents what Turkey was for centuries. Now, of course, the Ottoman Empire, I think, was more organized. They were more disciplined than ISIS. But they did exactly the same things. Invading countries, raping the women, chopping everybody's head off who will not forcibly convert to Islam, turning the women and children into sex slaves, etc. That is Islam. But the Ottoman version has always been the most formidable, the most dangerous, the most deadly, the most systematic. A lot of these groups like Al-Qaeda and these other independent groups, they're groups that could be quickly and easily overthrown. Your Turks, however, are much more formidable. This would be more like going into battle against a Nazi army or against the Soviets or something like that to deal with the Turks. Now, could the United States beat them militarily? I think, of course, the U.S. and its allies could defeat them militarily, but it would not be like Saddam Hussein. It would not be you just go over there, drop a few bombs, and Saddam and his regime collapses in no time. It wouldn't be like that. All right, now we've got a few minutes left. I wanted to mention one thing, some of the research that I've been doing. Why? Because the real problem with Islam right now for the Western world is not that the Muslims really have the ability to invade Western countries. The number one problem that we're dealing with is we have Judas Iscariots, we have the coalition of Marxists, who I call the Judas Iscariot Coalition. They are a coalition of traitors, traitors against America, traitors against the Western world, traitors against Christian civilization. And these are your leftists, your typically your liberal type political characters who want to invite the Muslims and all of these groups that are hostile to Christianity into our country and all the countries of the West, knowing full well that they are going to be working to try and overthrow our countries from within. But why is this happening? Well, a piece of the puzzle, I believe, can be found in the testimony of Adolf Hitler. And you can find this quote and other quotes like it in a number of different places. But if you read the Wall Street Journal, there's a Wall Street Journal article from a couple of years back, and the headline is Why Hitler Wished He Was Muslim. Why Hitler Wished He Was Muslim. Okay, and it says the Führer admired Ataturk's subordination of religion to the state and his ruthless treatment of minorities. And then they quote Hitler, and it says, quote, "It's been our misfortune to have the wrong religion," Hitler complained to his pet architect, Albert Speer. "Why did it have to be Christianity, with its meekness and flabbiness? Islam was a man religion, a religion of men, and hygienic too. The soldiers of Islam received a warrior's heaven, a real earthly paradise, with Horus and wine flowing. This, Hitler argued, was much more suited to the Germanic temperament than the Jewish filth and priestly twaddle of Christianity." All right, now I'm just reading there. This is a quote in this article from the Wall Street Journal. But Hitler, according to this and many other testimonies, Hitler believed Christianity was weak, that it was a religion of slaves, whereas Islam was a religion of warriors. And he believed that Islam would be a much more appropriate religion for the Germanic peoples. He even said so. And what Hitler said, if you go read all of the statements from Hitler on this, Hitler believed that if the Arabs had been allowed to invade Europe when they attempted back in, you know, the Battle of Tours with Charles Martel and so on, if Martel had lost that battle and the Arab Muslims had invaded Europe, then all of the Western Europeans would have become Muslims. And Hitler believed that because the Arabs were an inferior race to the Germanic people, that what would have happened is eventually the Germanic people would have claimed Islam as their own and then would have ultimately dominated the Arabs with their own brand of Islamic supremacy. So in other words, Hitler's dream was, oh, why couldn't the Arab Muslims have invaded us, taken us over, then we could have adopted Islam as our religion, and then using this fierce warrior religion, we could dominate the world. That was Hitler's dream, to dominate the world, and that Islam as a belief system was much more suited to his purposes than Christianity. And as we're watching what's happening in the West, where all of these illogical decisions are being made about immigration, and we're watching the Democratic Party that at this point has essentially adopted virtually all of the policies that were upheld by the Nazis back in the 1930s and 40s, could this be the reason why certain covert powers seem to want Islam to invade Western civilization and take it over? Is this the fulfillment of Hitler's dream? I think that is an interesting question. Could Western political leaders today be following and attempting to fulfill Hitler's dream? Could that be why they are allowing the systematic invasion of Western civilization? All right, but we are out of time, brethren. That's going to have to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we'll be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.